Welcome to the How to Be a Minimalist podcast. My name is Katie and I'm your host. Make sure you check out the links in the details of this episode. I always include things that I talk about, my YouTube channel, my books on minimalism, as well as how to become a patron so that you can get bonus exclusive episodes every month. Thanks for being here. This is episode number 92, questions to ask yourself before making a purchase. Hey there, minimalists. We are still kind of hanging out with family and also working on the RV. So that's all good, getting stuff done, enjoying family time, and also enjoying the last bits of our summer break. Part of this enjoyment of this summer is also taking some time to take time for myself, I guess. And I know I told you last week that I was doing a little bit of reading and listening to music. That actually was very relaxing to me. I made more of an effort this week, and yesterday I took some time for myself and I actually took a nap. I got ahead on some of my podcasting stuff, which was really nice to do early in the week. I didn't need to do it. I had an idea and I allowed myself to enjoy that creative and inspired moment, and I wrote all the stuff out that I wanted to write out. I also took the time to have a quiet lunch and I watched a couple of Garden Answer YouTube videos while I was doing that, which was really nice. I also was able to just relax while I was doing all of that, and it was very sweet. It was like a little lunch date with myself, which was very nice. This whole thing of self-care is very interesting to me. It's something that I've been working on for a very long time, but this year I actually made a goal to take some self-care time once a week. I have done terribly at that at some points, and sometimes I do okay, but it's something that I'm trying to figure out. Is once a week enough? Is this something that I need to do each day? I'm learning that there are times when I feel overwhelmed and I just want to be very quiet and alone for a moment. And there are times when that's not the kind of self-care that I need. So I'm trying to explore this and figure out what I actually need so that the time is efficient, so that I'm aware, so that I can give that to myself. There are many reasons why I'm trying to look into this and figure out what would be best for myself. Ultimately, my figuring this out is best for my family, it's best for my friends, it's best for my community, and I'm better able to do so much more if I can figure this out for myself. It will end up in a better outcome in a lot of different areas. So it's something I'm exploring and figuring out. For me, being alone is actually really important. It means that I'm able to have the time to rejuvenate and to put my best self back out there again. And I get kind of grumpy, I guess. I don't know. I get kind of tattered when I'm not giving that to myself. So this was just a great afternoon to be able to enjoy some personal time and to relax. It was really nice. When we are at home, I find that there are a lot of things that are the same, such as the places where we shop or the places that we visit. Those kinds of things mean less exposure to new items. On the road, there are so many different things to look at. My husband and I love going and looking at antique shops, and we love to check out downtown shops. It's funny because we never buy much, if anything at all, but it's just fun to look and see. And I always feel inspired looking at people's beautiful creations, even if maybe I don't want it. It is so fun to look at lovely things. I think because we've been in cool gift shops in national parks and state parks and things like that, as well as looked at shops in downtown areas, I have been exposed to a lot of different things. So I'm thinking a lot about purchases, why I would like to make purchases, why I don't want to make them, and I'm sort of figuring out a lot of those things for myself all over again, which is a good thing. It's good for me to think about that. It helps me to solidify my whys in a lot of different ways. Some purchases are necessary and some are not. That's obvious. Of course, we must purchase food. We must have a place to live. We need clothing, all of that, right? Those are necessary. But as we branch out from those things, that's where it becomes kind of a gray area. For me, minimalism isn't necessarily about having nothing. It's really about having things that you use, and those things ought to be things that you love, in my opinion, and to the best of your ability. And it's a work in progress, so you have to remember all of that. Things wear out, though, and they become useless. Design flaws become apparent. I have had things where I thought that they would be perfect, and I realized it wasn't functional for me or my family at all, and I still needed something like that item, but that item would not work for my family. So I had to replace it with something that had a better design to it. Interests change, and we decide we don't want to do things anymore, and there are so many different ways and reasons that purchases become an option, at least. And sometimes there can be a lot of reasons to purchase something. My goal is to have things that I love so that the exchange of those things or acquiring of new things is minimal. So when I purchase something, I want to know that I'm going to love it, it's going to last a long time, it's going to suit my need perfectly or as perfectly as possible, and that the exceptions to that suiting my needs are very minimal. Like, I don't really want to just get something because I will replace it later with something that works really, really well. I've been disappointed every time I've done that, when I've purchased something that would just make do, and knowing that I'm going to replace it later on with the perfect thing. In most cases, I'm much more patient about that, and I'm willing to wait to get that perfect thing so that I don't have to have two items come through my home. I just want to have the one. I'll wait for the perfect one. In order to kind of make sure that that exchange or acquiring of objects is as minimal as possible, I've recognized that I've got several questions that I ask myself in order to weed out the things that I don't actually want, even though they are tempting. Here are my questions. Number one, so then what? This is a question that my husband and I ask each other all the time. My husband started it years ago, and it applies to so much. I love peanut M&Ms. I have not had any in, I think, years at this point. Maybe I had a couple on New Year's Day last year. I can't remember, but I just try to stay away from those because if I start eating peanut M&Ms, I think this whole plant-based thing will just be all over with. And a lot of the advances I've made on my health will just crumble away. And I will be heading back to the place where I don't want to go back to. The thing with M&Ms is that they come out with flavors all the time. And my husband and I were at the store one time and they had like that new hazelnut flavor, which I don't know. A lot of the new flavors, to me, they're not that great. But I hadn't tried a new flavor in a long time. I love Nutella too, although I won't eat that stuff either. It's too good. I have a whole bunch of things that I'm like, nope, nope. If I start that, it's all over with and then I'll just be destroyed. So I can't go there. So I know myself. I've learned that there is no moderation for me as far as M&Ms or Nutella go, okay? It just doesn't work for me. But, you know, everyone does their own thing the way they want to do it, and that's totally fine. This is my way, and this is how I'm doing it. So my husband and I were checking out at the grocery store. I saw this new hazelnut flavor of M&Ms, and I looked at them, and I was like, should I just have a treat? Should I just get this one bag? And my husband asked me the question, you could, so then what? We ask each other this question to help each other see into the future and to follow that path of where these choices will lead us. If I had gotten those hazelnut M&Ms, I know what would have happened. I wouldn't have been satisfied with just one bag, probably. Probably it would have been very unsatisfying. And what I would ultimately want was either more of them because they were so good, or feel that I was cheated by them not being that good. And then I would really ultimately want some peanut M&Ms. And then I would convince myself, well, I had some M&Ms. Those ones weren't very good. I'll go have the kind that I really like and then I'll be done with it. But honestly, I know I won't be done with it. I find them to be very addictive. So I'm not going to eat peanut M&Ms. But that's probably what it would lead to. And if I started eating peanut M&Ms, it would become a more acceptable option. I would eat them more often. And then I'm back at square one that I worked so hard to get away from, to be a healthier person, to be a more fit person, and all of that sort of thing. I did not buy the hazelnut M&Ms. If there's something that you are tempted to buy, or the next time you're tempted to purchase something, I should say maybe, you ought to ask yourself, so then what? What is the final outcome? What will happen if you do allow yourself to purchase some frivolous item that you really don't need? What's going to happen to your finances? What is going to happen to your ultimate goals? What's going to happen with that possession? Is it something that you're really going to use forever and ever until it breaks? Is it going to be donated in a month? There are things that we purchase that are well planned. They're useful items. They can even be life changing. But most potential purchases are not, because as soon as you walk into even a basic grocery store, there are little gadgets all over the store. There are so many different things to buy. Many people shop at big box stores because they now have these massive grocery stores inside of them, which is so convenient because you can get everything you need all at the same place, but it's also a major trap. If you are trying to practice minimalism, you have to be careful which stores you walk into. You need to have a list. You have to be determined, and you have to pretty much just get in and get out and don't look at anything else other than what you need, because so many of these items are so tempting, and it's amazing how quickly we can talk ourselves into quote unquote needing something. I find that this question, so then what, it prevents me from purchasing probably 90% of the things that I'm tempted to buy. It would be my number one suggestion to ask yourself. And maybe it doesn't work for you. Maybe one of these other questions will work. Or maybe you have your own that you have sort of developed or that has come naturally into your life, and that's totally fine. But this one, it's a good one. It also has worked very well for many of the other parts of my life when I'm trying to make choices. So then what? What would happen if I did that? It's very, very helpful. The second question that I ask myself is, how long can I live without this? Sometimes taking a moment to just consider whether you can walk away from that item in order to go home and think about it, take a week to think about it, a month to think about it. Most of the time when I put a waiting period of at least a week, I find that I've forgotten about that item, and I'm so glad that I never purchased it because it would have gone to waste. A lot of times, either we or advertising talk us into believing that an item is necessary, that our lives are going to be so much better, so much easier, and they might even make us question, why have I been living without this my whole life? Advertising is so incredible that way, and we also have vivid imaginations. Even a simple kitchen gadget we could pick up and look at and wonder, why would I even want this? And as soon as you start thinking about that, you're able to see all the different ways in which you could potentially use it. Kitchen gadgets are one of the first things that are so easy to declutter because we don't really use them very often. But it's amazing how our brains become attached and we want this tool and we think that it will help us to survive. And primarily speaking, survival is number one, right? So if we find a tool, it makes sense that we would want it. I think that there are some things that are primal that are so deeply ingrained in us, it's really hard to fight those things and to change and to say, hey, no, I have plenty of tools. I'm surviving just fine. I don't need this tool in order to survive better. The more we expose ourselves to those things and advertising and all of that sort of thing, the more we think, I can't live without this thing. If you stop to ask the question, though, how long can I survive without this? Then your brain is kind of sent off on another path. And I find myself imagining all of the other things that I could use instead of this item. I find myself exploring the hassle of taking care of the item, the space it would take up, the clutter it would create. And I ultimately don't want the item at all. I have this horrible old cheese grater. I don't know when I got it. I don't like the design. I don't like the materials it's made of. I really don't like this thing. Even though I don't talk about it too much, I'm still working on my no spend year, my no buy year. And this was something that was on my list of it's okay to replace the kitchen gadgets. Because I don't have many of them, I allow myself to replace them. This cheese grater, it was awful. And I told myself when it died, I was going to purchase a new one. I didn't even tamper with it, my friends, in order to have this thing die sooner so that I could justify purchasing a new one. It was tempting when it would wobble and scare me that I was going to hurt myself or whatever, but I did not purchase a new one. I'm pretty stubborn that way. The thing is, every time I looked at it, I asked myself a version of this question. Instead of asking myself, how long can I live without this? I was asking myself, how long can I live with this cheese grater? And always the answer came back, you can live with it until it dies. So yesterday I was grating cheese for my family. I don't eat cheese, but my family still eats some. And I was grating cheese for them. The thing finally broke. I was so excited. Silly thing to get excited about, I know, but I've been waiting for a year. So I was like, yes, it finally broke. And my family all kind of looked at me and questioned, what broke and why are you happy about it? So I explained, I get to buy a new one now and it's dead. Even then, I asked myself, well, should I try to just put it back together a little bit? And that was where I drew the line. It was really broken and I didn't know how I could grate cheese and not also grate my fingers at the same time. So I got rid of it. And then I asked myself, how long can I live without a cheese grater? It turns out that I use one several times a week for my family. I also use it to rough zest lemons and all kinds of stuff. Carrots, zucchini, I use it for a lot of different things. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to purchase this now. I did wait a couple of days. I looked carefully and figured out exactly what I wanted. I already knew the style that I wanted, but I wanted to make sure that I got a nice tool that would last me a long time and one that I wouldn't be hoping for its death. So that is where I am with the cheese grater. I think it's a good example, though, of holding out and waiting. I know I don't talk about my no-buy year very much, but I am doing really well. I'm doing better than I thought I would in some ways. In other ways, I've faltered. We'll talk about that at some point. But as far as purchasing things for the home goes, I have done an excellent job and I have stuck to it so well. I have just replaced a few things that I've needed. The no-buy challenge has been really fun. I actually really think it would be a great idea even just to do it for a month, even if you don't want to do it for a whole year. It's an interesting experiment, at the very least. The last question I ask myself is this purchase unnecessarily hindering my other goals, financial or otherwise? Some items are necessary or they're worth pushing other things off for. But most of the time, frivolous purchases prevent us from achieving worthier goals. And they create clutter and chaos in our home while also preventing us from being able to have an item that we really need that's maybe a bigger purchase or an experience that we really want to have that is also maybe a bigger purchase or requires taking time off that we need to save up for or whatever. When my husband was in college, I went to craft stores at least once a week. I used every coupon I could find. I didn't spend a ton of money on individual purchases, but my husband was in college and I was taking care of our toddler and baby at the time. Life was tough. I didn't have my social circle because we had moved and money, it was just tight. Shopping made me feel, though, like I had something and it was such a lie. I was lying to myself. It was such false security. And in the end, it made me really unhappy. And the thing is, it made our finances worse that I was going and doing all of that shopping. I did utilize tons of the things that I purchased. I made things for people and I made things for my kids and I learned a lot. I honed my sewing and my crafting skills and things like that, which was fun. I even look back and, you know, it's hard to say, wow, I really regret doing that because regret is such a funny thing. If we unravel certain things that happen in our lives, other things could never be. And so when I look back, there is some amount of, wow, I really wish I wouldn't have done that. But there's also the other side that I learned from it. I learned that I didn't want to live like that. I learned from the things that I had. I learned that I had a lot of things I didn't want and that I didn't use and that I wasted a lot of money, even though I was telling myself that somehow it would make our lives better. Financial stress is one thing that drives me crazy. I really don't like financial stress and it's difficult. I think it's very burdensome to many people. So it is a major lie that spending money on a bunch of stuff is going to make us feel better. It doesn't, unless they are things that are necessary to our lives and all of that, right? We all have to gauge what we actually need. And I'm not here to make that judgment call. I do know that many things that we purchase are frivolous and unnecessary, and they end up burdening us financially. The other thing is that I could have taken the time to have a more calm life and not been purchasing all of those things, not requiring of myself that I utilize those things, which ended up becoming another stress because I knew I was purchasing this stuff. I wanted to make sure I was using it. So I ended up creating extra stress in my life when I could have been utilizing the simple things that were available to me, that were free to me. We would have come out of college financially in a much healthier position. It would have been possibly better for me. I could have spent more time creating a new social circle and all of those sorts of things. When we make purchases, we're also making financial decisions, or we're deciding what we're going to spend our time on. Sometimes that means that we're saying yes to something that isn't anything we're really interested in long term, and no to our long term goals we would really like to invest ourselves in, both financially and with our time. Asking ourselves, is this going to take away from this bigger goal that I have, is a great way to help us determine whether it's really something that needs to happen and that it will be a good thing for us, or if it will put that object in its place and keep the temptation away. That can help us to focus on our financial health and goals and be able to continue forward on those things. My minimalist challenge for you today is to think about one of your things that you've been wanting to purchase and imagine yourself purchasing it, and then ask yourself my favorite question, so then what? Following that trail of what would happen next and all of the little branches of that one choice can be very helpful in determining whether that is something that you actually need in your life. And it also might help you to set that item aside and say, you know what, I actually really don't think that I need it. I hope these questions are helpful to you and that you've gotten something out of this podcast episode. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you have an excellent day. And remember, it is all about the experiences, not the stuff. See you next time.